This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Hello, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky, and you're listening to a special recorded episode of Horses in the Morning for the Horse Radio Network on September 22nd, 2011, episode number 234. Good morning, Horse World. Well, as you know, Jamie, Jennifer, and I are on vacation this week, and we'll be back live on Monday the 26th. We hope that you are enjoying the special programming that we are bringing to you this week. Jamie and Helena B. from the Stable Scoop Radio Show had an opportunity a while back to have an in-depth conversation with Madeline Pickens on the topic of unwanted horses in America. We ran it as a two-part series here on Horses in the Morning, and it was very popular at the time. We thought we would replay it for you today in its entirety. If you have heard it before, take another listen. It's worth it. And if you have not heard it before, you're in for a real treat. Jamie and Helena will be right back with Madeline Pickens right after I share with you about our sponsor, Horseshow.com. And be sure to tune in tomorrow morning as we'll have a brand new musical episode for you with our youngest highlighted musician yet. Her name is Shay, and she's an amazing 18-year-old fiddle player, and she plays with a band called Rigel. You don't want to miss tomorrow morning's episode. Well, at Horseshow.com, you can now compete online just like you were at a regular horse show. Get judged by the top judges and get the judges' comments. Just upload your home video to enter a class online at Horseshow.com. It's a simple and economic way for you to compete with your horse from home. It's also a great way to prepare for your next horse show or track your progress during the off-season. Horseshow.com features real horse shows for multiple breeds and disciplines judged by nationally accredited judges. Upload, enter, and win anytime at Horseshow.com. Enjoy the show, everybody, and we'll see you again tomorrow morning.
Today's big deal, which is an interview that Jamie Jennings and I did with the wonderful Madeline Pickens, who is, gosh, probably the most inspiring horsewoman in the world today. Would you agree, Glenn?
I would agree. Yes, okay. She has done. You know, Madeline obviously is a billionaireess. She is the wife of a billionaire, Boone Pickens, who made his money in the oil fields of Texas. And, you know, she really could sit on her laurels and do nothing in her life. And I'm not too sure if I was in her situation, I wouldn't be sitting on my laurels doing nothing. But she has chosen to actually make a difference in the world in a big way.
She has. And, you know, Jamie and I got together because this is a special interview. It's part of the Women of Hope series. And it's actually going to air in two parts on Horses in the Morning as well as here today on Stable Scoop. Hope is sort of, it's a loose translation of heartfelt, overcoming, passionate, and inspiring. Now, these are four words that totally sum up Madeline Pickens and her efforts in particular to change the way Americans treat one of our most beloved national symbols, the Mustang. You know, now Madeline Pickens may be, I would say she's privileged now, but she's no stranger to challenges. She's a role model for horse girls and women everywhere. And she's the epitome of the successful business, a businesswoman. She's a hard worker. She's a wife, a mother, a grandmother, a thoroughbred racehorse owner, an animal welfare activist, philanthropist, and she's also an author. But above all, she's an American woman who has heart, compassion to overcome obstacles, and she's inspiring. So, you know, I want you to take a listen to the conversation that Jamie and I had with her. Jamie and I are really, this woman made our work very easy. We asked just a few questions, and she had plenty to say. She's very interesting to listen to. What she has to say is relevant. And, for example, Madeline and her husband Boone, as Glenn was saying, they led the fight to close the last slaughterhouse in the United States, equine slaughterhouse in the United States. And much of their work resulted in the passage of the American Horse Slaughter Prevention Act by the U.S. House of Representatives. They also helped the victims of Hurricane Katrina back in August of 2005. The Pickens donated $7 million to the Red Cross to help the people of New Orleans, which is just
Say how much that must have been appreciated, because I am a Red Cross volunteer. I was in actually Pennsylvania, I think, during that time, working with the Red Cross there. And we sent so many people, and the Red Cross spent so much money on that particular disaster. And, you know, it was people like we were begging for money at that point. You know, the coffers were running low because we had had so many hurricanes that year, if you remember right.
Yes, I do.
That wasn't the only hurricane that year. That was one of many hurricanes that year. And it's people like the Pickens who really helped keep the Red Cross going at that point.
Well, I think that sort of got the wheels rolling, too, because, you know, just a few years later in 2008, when the Bureau of Land Management announced that the U.S. government was considering euthanasia and selling the 30,000 wild Mustangs that we had to slaughterhouses overseas, Madeline decided that she was going to develop a sanctuary for these horses. And guess what? She did exactly that. She bought 1 million acres and donated it to the Mustangs. She bought the 1 million acres and created a sanctuary, and that is called Mustang Monument. So all of these Mustangs can come and live on her property in safety. And, you know, that's a big deal, people. Granted, you and I don't have the money to buy 1 million acres, but what she's done has inspired me, and I know it's going to inspire you.
Jamie Jennings, Helena V, and Madeline Pickens.
How would you describe yourself to our listeners?
Well, first of all, I immigrated to America. So I feel very fortunate to have been able to come here. I always dreamed of coming here, even as a child. So America is what I dreamed of. It's where I ended up. I had such expectations, and I've been very lucky. You know, I've achieved my goals here in America. But, you know, as you start to achieve goals, you start to find out about other things that are going on, and you start to think about maybe adding some other goals. And it was apparent to me that this country needs help. As far as its kindness to animals. And so that has been my passion. And, you know, if it's something related to an animal, I'm always there.
Yes, you are. I believe that your dachshund is sitting in your lap right now, your rescue dog.
Little Tommy, I made a mistake. I was surfing online one night, and my Jack Russell was 17 and a half years old, and he's been more than a friend. I just cannot tell you how I loved that dog. And I was thinking, I'm never going to be able to do the right thing with him and put him down when it's time. So I thought I'd better start to look for another companion. And also, you know, when you have an old dog and they start to get blind, I knew that whatever I adopted would become his eyes. And that's exactly what happened. So he became dependent on my dachshund. And it was very, very sweet, because until that time, my Jack Russell was a pretty aggressive dog. So it was sweet. He mellowed, and Tommy was his security blanket. So I was just, surfing online and doing all the Jack Russells, and at one point, I had standard poodles, and they were incredible dogs. They're so smart, and they don't shed. So I went through them, and then I said, you know, I'm just going to look at dachshunds, because I always thought they were cute. And I always go to places like Missouri or Tennessee, you know, Texas, Oklahoma, where they have really bad issues with animals, and they have all those puppy mills up there in Missouri. And so I went down to Tennessee, and I looked at these videos, and there he popped up.
So, it's a dangerous thing to go surfing on the internet, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know what? I slammed it off, and a week later, I peeked again, and there he was. He was still there, and I said, well, that's the message. So I went ahead with all the documents, and they came and visited my home, and, you know, he came to me, and he's been a delight, an absolute delight, but they were cruel. He was from a puppy mill. He was starved to death. He was discarded in a dumpster. And now he really does have a happy home. So he's had a happy ending.
Well, I think he's probably about the luckiest pup in the world to be able to come and live with you. Now, what you're doing here that really inspired me, obviously, you know, you've saved a lot of horses. You work with Old Friends Equine, and you now have kind of directed your attention to something that I feel is very important and really didn't have a ton of experience with them until I moved out here to Arizona, and so many people own them, is the Mustang. And you know, you've now created Mustang Monument, which we'll get into, but why the Mustangs and what makes them so special to you?
The reason I got involved with the Mustangs was I, you know, used to see all these old great cowboy and Indian movies with my father when I was a little girl, and he loved them. And of course, I fell in love with the Western life, and that was the beginning of why I wanted to come to America. When I got here, I didn't see any of the West. You know, you'd go to Disneyland, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, how cute.
Sorry about that. I told you that would happen.
And you know, so I forgot about it. And then with Katrina, when I did the airlift out of there, I couldn't believe it when somebody came up to me and said, you know, could you help me with horse slaughter? I didn't know what they were talking about. So I got into it. Then I started to see video of the wild horses being gathered and those ending up in slaughter. And I was sick to my stomach. Mm-hmm. So I knew then that was my calling and I must do it. And right now, you know, we have over 500 horses at Mustang Monument that have been rescued. They're the Paiute Nation horses that were headed to slaughter. And so we bought them off the killer buyers, and they are now safely, happily at Mustang Monument. But can you imagine why anybody would want to slaughter mares in foal with a foal by their side? I mean, what to eat on a foal? You know, so the whole thing is uncivilized and crazy. It's just crazy stuff. So anyway, they're there happily. Now, the other thing that I'm trying to get done, and we're trying to work this out right now, is at the Sheldon refuge, is they have these other horses that they keep gathering, and they are not protected by the Bureau of Land Management. Tommy, quiet.
You are officially part of the Horse Radio Network family.
Yep. You know, it's so funny. We have this feeling that, you know, just because I say a civilized word, quiet, that that's, you know. Getting back to the horses. So I really do want to help out with that herd of horses, the Kiger horses, because, you know, if you call it a sanctuary for wildlife and animals, for some reason, they don't want to deal with the numbers. And so I'm trying to work something out. You know, I really could solve their problem for them, just take them all and do something with them. You know, they'd be safe with me, and again, the public will still be able to view them. So we're trying to work something out now. I'm probably a little bit ahead of the game talking about it, but you know, if you don't, then people don't know that you're trying to do the right thing, and it also helps them out, you know, Fish and Wildlife and game and all of that. They know now they have a friend that they can count on with these horses, other than people picking them up. And God, I get such bad emails about this, where they think they're going or where they're ending up. So I'm concerned about it. And the easiest thing for me to do is just say, hey, we will find a way. So bring them over to me and we'll take care of them.
And we'll figure it out later.
Yeah.
Now, what do you find to be the most challenging at this point? I mean, you've overcome some pretty big obstacles, especially with the United States Congress. What's the next big challenge for you that you say, okay, I'm going to roll up my sleeves, and here's where I really need to dig down deep into Madeline's heart and soul?
Oh, I'm not so sure that it's one thing. You know, I just will never end my journey trying to help save horses. I mean, you just think about that. Leona Helmsley, when she died in her will, she left, what, $8 billion to animals. And apparently they got that changed. They said, well, she didn't mean to do that, and she encompassed something else. And from what I understand and heard was that the first year when they divvied up some money to give away, they gave away $41 million from her estate, and $40 million went to the New York City Hospital, and $1 million was split up between 10 different animal charities. That's what I heard. And to me, that's sad, because if she was alive, they would never dare do that. So, you know, there's always good intention, and And there's always people that think, well, I don't think that's probably what she meant. We need to change that around a little bit. So, you know, for me, I try to do everything while I'm alive, because I don't think you can count on what happens to your estate after you're gone. And I've seen it happen with so many people that I'm pretty confident that that doesn't always go the way they planned. So I still have to work with the government and probably with the Congress. The difficulty with government is it's not necessarily me. I think if I was a bank, they'd bail us out really fast, you know. Yeah, when they had
sadly,
a crisis,
yes.
Yeah, they came up with billions and trillions. And because we want to resolve the wild horse issue, that's monumental to them. And that cannot be resolved fast. I've been working on this issue for 3 years, and it's something that we could have done, you know, in a few months if they had wanted to. And then I say, well, even if they want to, they have to jump through hoops. When President Obama got involved in banking, they did it. Well, I sure wish he'd get involved with us with the wild horses and just let us take care of it. Let the private sector take care of it. You know, they're always talking about the private sector coming in and helping and taxing us and doing this and doing that. You know, we can do a lot more if you just help us and allow us to do the things that need to be taken care of as advocates. I mean, you know, they're doing a very expensive job right now in the program that they have the wild horses right now. And I'm not blaming the BLM. I'm just saying that's the system, and the system doesn't work. And they want to change it. But, can they? Well, it takes a year to do this and 3 years to do that, and maybe it'll take another 3 years for the RFP for the public lands. And, you know, if President Obama would just jump in and say, you know what, fix it. We don't have the money to give you anymore for that program. Let's just fix it. We can. We can. We know how to do business. Anyway, yeah. I've got a lot of good friends at the BLM that I have a lot of respect for, so hopefully they will make the right decision. And there's lots of people that have been working on this issue for a long time. I certainly have already spent millions of dollars on this, and I don't want to waste any more. Whatever dollar I spend, I want to go directly to an animal that I'm saving.
Amen, sister. I totally appreciate that. I mean, when you talked about Mustang Monument, I mean, you said you're announcing it, but it is on your website. And what I loved about it is that you want to have 1 million acres, and the public can go, and they can be a part of the West and be a part of the Mustang life. And so kind of give everybody a little bit of a picture of what you have in mind for that. And then, just let us paint a picture for us, if you will.
Oh, great. Simply, I purchased 2 ranches. One had 14,500 deeded acres, and that was called the Spruce. And that has over 530,000 acres of public lands that I bought the allotments for. And then I purchased adjacent to that the Warm Creek Ranch, so that I have access to the highway and power. And that had 4,500 acres of deeded land and another 20,000 public lands for which we bought the grazing rights to. And so together we're around 560,000 acres. What I've asked the government to consider is opening up the public lands from cattle grazing to horse grazing. This way we can take a lot of horses, and because we're no longer running it as a cow-calf operation, we can do a lot more to take care of the horses. When I took it over, there were a lot of wells and springs that really weren't working so well. Now we're motivated to do it. That the people before with cows were not motivated to do it. I'm motivated. I want to create this eco sanctuary where you can all come with your families and your pets and visit. And we can have, I've already purchased like teepees that are 800 150 square feet where boys can come in and camp out overnight. And we'll have educators to tell them stories, not just learn about the earth, but also learn about the stars. If you're having a barbecue outside at night, look at the story around you that you have to tell, not only in the skies, but let's also talk about our tribal history that kids do not learn very much about in school. And I'm fascinated with our tribal history, and I know my daughter is. And I remember doing homework with her, and we did Lewis and Clark, and then we and Sacagawea, and then we turned the page, and it was back to something else. You know, America did not begin when the Pilgrims arrived. I mean, America existed before. There's a lot of denial about it, but I mean, you know, it's a beautiful history, and we need to all be friends, and we need to make it work. And, you know, we want to teach the children how to grow food on the land, you know, photographic classes, art classes, so that, you know, a wellness center, so that when you come, you're active. You come with your family, but you leave and you've learned something together as a group. And you've left your footprint at the sanctuary. And, you know, we already have these 500 horses from the Paiute Nation, and they're so fabulous. I mean, you see them running with their foals by their sides, and we have a creek that runs next to the house, and they all come. I mean, to suddenly see a herd of 200 horses come running in to drink water is beautiful. And then the next 200 come in, and we gelded all the stallions because this was a rescue. And we know there's tons more to rescue. So we do the right thing. When we go into rescue work, we spay and neuter. In this case, we didn't have to, neuter the mares. We took care of it by the stallions. We just gelded them all. Boom, boom, boom. It was done, 120 of them.
Wow.
And now we're safe. You know, if there's anything in the oven, you know, right now, if the mares are in full, we'll see them. And we'll if it's a stallion, it'll be, you know, neutered after a few months. But I feel so good about it when you go. We're right now not ready to accept the public because we don't have the accommodations. You know, we need to get our business license. We need to work out accommodations with the Elko County. And, you know, that all takes time. And the biggest part about this is our rescue. We have to do that first. And we've filled in our RFP with the government so that if they are willing to give us horses. After all, we pioneered the program with them when Henry Bison was there, and he announced he was ready to do it. So, but there was a change in the administration. And so then you have to go with a new group. They appear to be on board now. And, you know, otherwise they wouldn't have done an RFP. We could have done it without it, but they weren't willing to do that. And that's fine. It's just cost us all a lot more money and attorneys and engineers and everything else. You know, when you deal with government, it's not cheap. And it's not easy.
Well, you know, I find it amazing how you've been so successful with the government so far. But I'm going to tell you right now that if I could reach through this computer and give you a great big hug for what you're doing, I totally would. I thank you so much for saving these Mustangs and then, you know, being responsible with the castration of all the males and just making it kind of a happier situation. And I want to tell you that the day that you open up that Mustang Monument, we are going to be there because that is just what a great adventure and experience for people that never would have the opportunity to do that again. So not only are you saving them, to me, education breeds interest, and then interest breeds, you know, more and more people getting involved. So when you're bringing people there, you're educating them, you're getting them interested, and it's going to be a revolution. And I'm incredibly proud of what you do. But I want to know, what is your proudest moment and everything you've done?
Oh, I think when I delivered my daughter.
I knew you were going to say that too. I really did. I think it is amazing. And has she followed in your footsteps as far as loving animals and being compassionate?
Oh, she's so sweet. And she's got two small children. And she wrote me a lovely letter. And she said, you know, Mom, I'm so proud of what you're doing. And right now, I'm busy raising my children, but when it's time, I'll be there to take over. And, you know, it was so sweet, it made me cry. Mm-hmm. And you know, people always say, what was your proudest moment? I don't know. I think we all have many proud moments, you know, proud, you know, when I married my husband, you know, when my daughter was born, when the horses arrived, when that first truckload of Paiutes arrived, when that first airliner took off out of Baton Rouge with the dogs and cats on board, I cried. I mean, it was like Noah's Ark taking off. And the thing that I felt was there's going to be some people there that are sad because they don't know what happened to their dogs. They left them behind. But now they know there's airliners taking off with them, and they can dream that their dog or their cat was on there and it will go to a good home. And the same thing with the horses. When they arrived, they were coming from the killer buyers. They were headed, you know, to be slaughtered. And this time they were on a truck. They didn't know where they were going. But they arrived at the sanctuary, and, you know, I cried. It was just so beautiful just to see these animals become free, and they've all gained so much weight. They just look so good, and it's just made me realize, you know, just keep on it. You're doing the right thing, because when you can sleep at night, you know you're doing it right.
I'm sorry. I was just – what you heard was me gasping because I'm watching as I'm listening to this conversation. One of the things I know that you wanted to talk about was a message that you created to send to Oprah, and it was a video. I care about wild horses, and I've sort of had it playing in the background as we're having this conversation. And you know, I'm listening, and then I'm looking up at the video, and on two occasions, the video has actually made me gasp out loud. About the way these animals are treated, approach that the helicopters and the people are, that the approach that they are taking is so callous, and I'm scared, and that approach and that perspective on these animals will be the majority. I mean, it makes me sad. I know it makes you sad. It makes you sick. And then that inspired you to take action.
Well, just go down to any shelter or see these dogs that are tied on a chain in the backyards and people don't feed or water them. But, you know, animal cruelty is big. It's big in the world and it's big in this country. And what that footage we put out there is not the worst footage. We had to be very careful what we put there because people don't want to see the terrible things. They don't want to see it. So I wish I could put it out, but I can't. But we have much worse footage than that with the burros being hit and have their heads slammed against these metal pens and things just for fun. I mean, they're just having fun. So it was shocking. It made me ill.
What do you do with that? I mean, it must make you sad and angry and energized all at the same time. I mean, when you must feel this mix of emotions. I know you do. What do? Do you slam your fist down and say, that's it? And then you pick up the phone, or how do you channel those emotions into? I mean, I think that's a challenge for most of us who are impacted or affected by these videos and by the cruelty. How do you channel that into something positive?
Well, you know, I learned at an early age. I once met a therapist. God, it's got to be 42 years ago. And I said, what do you do when you get angry? And he said, God gave us anger for a reason. And he said, anger is so that you use it, but don't use it against yourself. Use it to do good. And I understood that. And I realized so many people have anger management, but they don't take that and put it, go into a project and save something, you know. And when I first found out about horse slaughter, you know, and I saw the videos of it, I would cry and cry. And I was devastated, and I felt helpless. And then one day I just realized, you know, I'm going to pray. And when I pray, I've changed my praying. I realize what separates us from animals, and that is that God gave us a brain. And so often, you know, we go, oh, God, just help me. I want my son to win this tournament or this competition, or can we win this? And, you know, God's on both sides of the team, so he can't do that. But what he did when he put us on earth is he gave us the brain. And he said, I've now given you all the tools to fix anything and everything. So when I pray, I go, God, thank you for everything. I said, help me. Please help me dig down deep inside and figure out a way that I can help fix this mess. Help me think of a solution. And I remember doing that when I first came up with the idea for the foundation and for the sanctuary. And I woke up in the morning and my head was clear. And I said, of course, that makes sense. Why don't I go to the BLM and ask them if I buy a ranch like every other rancher or cattleman and I buy the deeded lands, would they convert the public lands if I buy the allotments to those as well? And they liked the idea and they said, yes. And, you know, after all, then it becomes property rights. Now I have the rights to the deeded land. And when you own the deeded land, you own the water rights to the public lands. So surely now you can't bring people out from Washington or New York and have them stand on a 500,000 acres or 1,000 square miles and say, hey, there's not enough room here for these horses. I mean, they would look at you sideways and say, this is corruption or this is some silly argument that's archaic. We need to change this. I mean, it's not possible that you can't put more horses out there. And so the thing is to work together as a team. You know, I have the idea. I now bought the land because I would talk about it when I went to Washington. I would see, Feinstein, and she'd say, okay. And then finally she said, Madeline, just go and buy the land. And when you do it, we can get it done. So I bought the land and, you know, hopefully she's going to be on board to help us along with the Senator Landrieu. And you've seen Congressman Dan Burton up there on the floor. I mean, he's not afraid. He's horrified and ashamed that we're spending this kind of money. There's a ton of congressmen and senators that really do want this fixed. After all, America's got big problems, you know, and you can't have this kind of nonsense going on when we got major, major problems. And our problems are not over in this country. So we need to get off the stick and allow the private sector to fix this. And then let the government get on to doing other things that are that would have more impact and more importance. You know, right now, with the cattle grazing, they pay 4 cents a day per cow to graze on public lands. And the government takes in, I don't know, 16 or 20 million from the ranchers for cattle income, you know, on these grazing, for these grazing rights, which is nothing because it costs them over 120 million. To run the operation. So, you know, here you have an operation where the ranchers have asked the government or set the standards for how many horses are allowed there. And then they say, okay, now remove the rest. We don't want them. And so the government has to come and help the rancher out, remove the horses, and then they give it to another rancher in Kansas or, you know, Texas or Oklahoma, and they pay them. So they keep paying all these ranchers and these cattlemen to take care of horses. And you know what? We can fix it all. Right now, the horses, there's 15,000 that are in short-term holding. They have to pay $2,500 a year per horse in short-term holding. And they pay $500 to the ones in the long-term holding. So I said, give me the horses from short-term holding at $2,500 a year cost to you, I will take about $500 and I will put them in a sanctuary where the public can see them, because right now you can't see them in long-term holding because it's private land, so they are excused and there's no transparency. There's too many stories about there about what's happened to these horses. You know, they don't know. Who knows when they die? Who knows what happens? Because you can't see. And when you don't have transparency, people talk. So, you know, with or without the government, my sanctuary is moving forward. If they want to engage, save the taxpayer money, bring them to me, great. If they don't, we're not going to stop. You know, we'll take care of the horse. It'll be sad if they don't come to us. And it's sad because we said, look, you keep talking about us as a pilot program, but hurry up and do it so that we can right. then acquire more land and take care of 30,000 horses. But, you know, when you keep talking about a pilot program with 1,000 horses and you've got 1,000 square miles, you start, you know, crossing your eyes and rolling your eyes and saying, come on, you know, it's you've been in this mess for a long time. I've been standing in front of you for a long time saying, come on in, let's be friends and let's make this work together.
Mm-hmm. Girl, I'm about to load up my trailer right now and head that way. I'm telling you.
That makes two of us.
So when you've got all this going and you've made this video, you know, first of all, I want to find out how people can get involved. And then I want to know, did Oprah get the video? Has she seen this powerful piece that you guys made?
You know, I talked to Wayne Pacelli at the Humane Society. Yeah, and Wayne, I think, is a great, great head of the Humane Society. You know, there are always stories out there. And I always say to people, you know what? He does legislation. And legislative work is the hardest thing to do, and it's very, very costly to do. So they've been wonderful in getting a lot of things enacted for us. And, you know, they fought the puppy mill bill in Missouri, and they've got to go again. But you know, that's hard work. But, okay, what was the question? I digressed, and I didn't mean to.
No problem. I want to know, you know, first of all, how can people get involved? And then second of all, did Oprah ever see the video?
Oh, okay. So somebody said to her from her group of people, hey, what are you guys up to? What are you doing? You know, or what is she doing to us? And so Wayne said, what's it about, Madeline? And I said, well, you know, Oprah's name is a little bit like Coca-Cola. If you use Oprah's name, you know, it's America. And right, I don't know her personally. And we've seen all the wonderful work she has done with different groups. And I didn't know how to reach her. So I said, look, the public knows Oprah. Let's just say, Oprah, can you help us? And one day if she decides to help us, great. If she doesn't, you know, our first go around, we had over 15,000 hits. And then there was a mess up with the music and one obscure group that we didn't have a release from because I don't think we knew how to get it. Complained, so we had to redo it and just take the music off somewhere and put it up again, and it lost momentum when you do that. But it was a very successful video. If she wants to help us, you know, I'd be delighted. But if not, 15,000 people or 20,000 have seen it now, and I can't expect her to help everybody and everything. But this is a big thing to Americans, and it is our American horse. Gosh, without it, you know, I mean, they joined the Missouri and the Columbia River. They were our ships. You know, they did everything for us. And, you know, society has a way of letting go of things that helped them in the past. I mean, to build a bronze monument and then just say, okay, that's it. Now we don't have to worry about it being knocked down by the wind or anything. You know, well, these horses still live. They're, you know, we still got their offspring. They're still around to help us. And you can't ignore them. They have to be fed, they have to be watered. But more than that, they're a treasure. And our children want to see them.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that, first of all, what we're going to do is, whether my boss likes it or not, we're going to post this video on our website and also on our Facebook page and make sure that people, if they want to, they have the chance to view it, because I think it's inspiring and it's powerful and it will make you angry. And like you said, anger will channel into something good. And I really believe that. And seeing this video made me have to talk to you about it.
Me too, Jamie. It moved me to do something about it. I even posted it on my Facebook page and said, just watch it from beginning to end. It's not totally gruesome, but it is important. And then, you know, the plea is to watch it and then decide what you're going to do about it, because it's not just about horses. It's about who we want to be as human beings. And how we want to treat not just the animals that we share this world with, but each other. And I think that, Madeline, is going to be the beginning of solving the problems that do plague our country. Those big, big problems that, you know, we put, because those problems stem from this. It's who we are as people, who we are as the human beings with the brains. We need to do a better job of using those brains and being compassionate.
Yes, you're right. And, you know, what I found is that it's grassroots that works. So if everybody that listens to you Facebooks all their friends and says, go to Saving America's Mustangs or be a fan of Saving America's Mustangs, or, you know, if everybody took their mailing list and blasted it and said, I like this, why don't you sign up, or you go to a website and it says be a supporter, then we send you information all the time. When there's a gather, we ask you to join in and support us and say, we don't support this gather. You need to stop. Or we send a letter to Bob Abbey, or we send one to Salazar, or you know, and we send nice, polite letters. But it's when they see that the public really, really is engaged in this. And you know, whereas before, several years ago, not too many people knew about it. Now, you know, everybody's getting involved, and it's becoming an embarrassment for the government. Everybody, SavingAmericasMustangs.org, go to our website, Facebook it, and sign up with us, please, and tell your friends. It's spreading the word. It's. I can't tell you, we're so lucky that we have Facebook. We're so lucky that we have the internet, because that lets the truth out.
Yeah. It really does. So the website, again, is SavingAmericasMustangs.org. You can also find Madeline on Facebook. Just search for Mustang Monument. That is her Facebook page as well. Madeline, you know, your call to action has been heard, and I really hope that, you know, our listeners and everybody involved in this can get behind it and support it and move it forward. You have our 100% support. We cherish you as a woman and as an amazing person who is really, really, you know, you don't just talk about it, you do it. And that is why you are part of the series. And we are so proud to have you on our show. And we just can't thank you enough.
Hey, wait a second. Whose husband just came back from Afghanistan or Iraq?
My husband has been deployed. He actually he's still here in the U.S. Just he was deployed, but he is a fighter pilot for the United States Air Force, and I'm incredibly proud of him.
Well, tell him that we love him when we support our military. My husband and I, you know, I have a country club here, and I'm always doing events for them. You know, they are invited. They have an open invitation. I can't thank him enough for doing what he does. Tell him thank you and let him know that we all appreciate and care about the freedom that they have given us. Now, I need to return freedom to our animals here, but I am so grateful to our military. I can't say enough. You know, I mean, what a great country we live in because of these men and women.
Okay, now you're going to make me cry.
I know.
Well, thank you so much. And, you know, it's been an honor having you on our show, and I will definitely pass that message along to him and to all the rest of our military. You know, we wouldn't be here without them. We wouldn't be here without the horses. So, you know, we got to save our own people and thank them and show them how much we support and appreciate them. And you're doing that in your own way. And I will be there at Mustang Monument, girl. I'm coming.
Okay,
when it's open, I'm there.
We'll invite you, don't worry.
Well, okay. Thank you so much. Tell Tommy we said hello and give him a little cookie from us.
The same thing for your brood.
Thanks. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Madeline.
Bye-bye.